Yeah, I've got something that I, when as I was standing there, I thought, sure, wonder whether I must say this. But I think Danielle just opened the door for me and said we have to be honest, you know, and because it's not been that easy for me to actually prepare what I want to share with you this morning, and I was thinking if there is a course for lay preachers, you know, called Preaching 101, then it will probably have some don't do that, don't do that, don't do that. And I just listed three things here, you know, don't preach about something which you don't know much about. No, don't preach on controversial things. And lastly, don't preach on Ecclesiastes. You know, let the pastor do that. You know, and I'm actually going to do all three above, you know, this morning. And I certainly do not, you know, I hope that I do not confuse, because it's been a little bit confusing for myself as well. But and I may say some things that are a bit kind of shocking, you know, that you say, no, I can't, you know, surely not. But I want to go in a few passages, and it's a short book, but I'm not going to go through the whole book, obviously, otherwise we won't go home today. But I just don't want you to shut me down, you know, while I'm preaching. Just hang in there and listen. Now, you can talk to me after the service then. Yes, you can say amen. But I don't think you will say that too often. You know, who's the author of this book? And I, you know, I'm saying this, I know maybe probably most of you know, but it's Solomon. He was actually a son of David, and the son of David and Bathsheba. Bathsheba being the lady that Solomon committed adultery with, sent her husband away to war, got him killed. You know, those guys were something else. And then he had she had a son, and it wasn't the, you know, the, from the adultery, but it was a later son that called Solomon, and it's about 950 years before Christ. And he became king, actually. He wasn't the firstborn, but still became king of Israel. And actually over the whole 12 tribes, I looked at this. I didn't know this. I, you know, obviously had to read this up. But early in his life, the Lord asked Solomon in a dream what he wanted. You know, and if somebody asks you this question, you know, you've got one wish, what do you want? You know, and I think it's a little bit surprising of what he asked for. He said he wants wisdom and knowledge. You know, he wants to have an understanding heart that he can judge the people fairly. He will know what is the difference between good and evil. And the Lord granted that to him. And just because he didn't ask the normal thing like, I want a lot of money, you know, and I want to have power and that, the Lord gave him that as well. You know, so he had wisdom and was actually regarded as the wisest, besides the Lord Jesus Christ, the wisest man that ever lived on this planet. So that is the guy that wrote this. You know how many wives Solomon had? 700, you know. Not 7 or 70, but 700. See, all you can say there is, oh, can't do with that guy. It's just it's unbelievable, you know. And just imagine, I was sitting there thinking, just imagine on a Tuesday afternoon, wife number 534 comes in and says, Solomon, I need to speak to you. You haven't spent enough time with me this week, you know. It's like, but if that wasn't enough, he actually, he had another 300 girlfriends as well, or concubines, they call it. I call it girlfriends. So he had 1,000 women. You know? And so that's the guy that wrote this book. but he was also, he built the temple of the Lord. And I think if we can just go and look at a few passages of this book. And it's really the book there. I think Solomon is honest. What you said this morning, you're just honestly going before the Lord and saying, I don't understand, you know. And what is the meaning of life? You know, and he is being, I think, brutally honest when he writes this. You know, and if I go down the street and I ask people, you know, why are you here, you know, in this planet? What is the meaning of all of this? You know, you probably many people will just say, oh, I haven't thought about this. Or, oh, I don't know. You know, or some people will say, I don't know. What's this all about? And that's why I call the sermon, Life is Meaningless. And that's why I'm saying, you know, I call it this way because I just want your attention. You know, that's, and if I just want to start reading verse 2, starting there, it says, this is Solomon saying, meaningless, meaningless, utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. What does a man gain from all his labor at which he toils under the sun? Generations come and generations go, but the earth remains forever. The sun rises and the sun sets and hurries back to where it rises. The wind blows to the south and turns to the north. Round and round it goes, ever returning on its course. All streams flow into the sea, yet the sea is never full. To the place the streams come from, there they return. All things are wearisome, more than one can say. And in verse 14 there it says, I have seen all the things that are done under the sun. All of them are meaningless, a chasing after the wind. And that's what Solomon says, you know, the wisest man that, you know, was on this planet beside the Lord Jesus Christ. And he looked at, he comes to this conclusion, or not conclusion, it's actually the start of the book, but he says everything is meaningless. And he looked at pleasure, you know, and it goes on. I'm not going to go through all those passages, but he actually went and said, I'm going to try pleasure. And he certainly had all the avenues. You know, he had the money and he had all the riches and everything, and he tried pleasure. And at the end of it, he says, it's meaningless, you know. And he tried cheering himself up with wine, with folly, like he calls it, you know, embracing folly and drinking a lot of wine. And he also came to the conclusion, that's meaningless. So then he actually went into real estate, like building houses and buying, you know, farms, and he did gardening. You know, he did a lot of the, he had a lot of cattle and herds of sheep and that, and he says that's all meaningless, you know. And so if I had to ask you the question, you know, what will make you happy? You know, and you just say, I will be happy when. And if you go to the next slide there, I just put there, I'll be happy when I finish school, or I've got my degree, or if I get a bit more money, or get this job, or, you know, I get this farm with, I have this cattle, and or this boat that I'm going to drive twice a year, you know. I mean, that is probably when you get posed with those things, I'll be happy when. It's actually something that one needs to ponder about. When will we be happy? Maybe some younger people will say, when I move out of my parents' home. And the parents will say, we will be happy when he moves out. So, you know, Solomon was searching for this happiness and just didn't seem to find it. In fact, in the book, he says 38 times, he says, it's meaningless. And he actually then comes to a point where he says, is life worth living. Because we all, every generation thinks, you know, we're going forward. I mean, you know, these last guys, they didn't actually know. You know, we are now. You know, don't the younger generation always say, "Ah, this you can't understand our parents." You know, they. But it's almost like a, and I thought about it, it's like a these stationary bikes in a gym. You know, everybody, you know, one generation gets on these bikes, and they battle like mad, and until they die and they fall off. You know, and then the next guys come and they say, "Geez, these guys didn't get anywhere." You know, they didn't go forward. You know, they get on and they start paddling. And I thought it's almost like, you know, when you look at life from really think about it, there's a lot of circles which seem to do the same thing over and over again. You know, I mean, you just look at, you go in the house, all the dishes, wash them all up, you know, just finished, walk out, there's a dirty dishes coming in again. You know, it just seems to, are we doing over and over and over the thing? But in what Solomon says, you know, and at the end of that, you die. You know, and people forget you. Just seem to, a lot of, you know, soon afterwards, nobody knows you anymore. And he says, you know, does this make sense? And I was thinking, you know, it's like a, what people call a wild goose chase. And there's actually no goose, you know. It's just going around in circles, you know, And Solomon actually talks about that, you know, we get money, we buy stuff that we want, so we buy the stuff that we want to enjoy, but we're so busy working still, we can't enjoy the stuff that we have, and then we die. You know, and you're probably saying, not amen, but you're probably saying, surely it's not that negative. Surely there must be something, can't be all that bad. Well, that's only chapter one. So chapter two, you know, I just want to read chapter 2, verse 17. So, I mean, there are about 12 chapters in this. And Solomon in chapter 2, verse 17 already says, "So I hated life, because the work that is done under the sun was grievous to me. All of it was meaningless, a chasing after the wind." And he was then saying, later in the chapter, in the next chapter, he's saying, you know, animals, and what's the difference actually between a human and an animal? We both die, and, you know, we breathe the same air, and so, and to dust we return. And he just didn't seem to understand what this is all about. And he looks, you know, I'm going to skip chapter 3, it's too bad. No, it's go to chapter 4, and I just want to read you the beginning of chapter 4. And he says, and you know, because you looked at the suffering that's out there, and don't we often, we get posed with the question, why is there so much suffering in the world? You know, it doesn't make sense. You know, why does God allow the suffering? And in chapter 4 at the beginning, he says, "Again, I looked and saw all the oppression that was taking place under the sun. I saw the tears of the oppressed, and they have no comforter. Power was on the side of the oppressor, and they have no comforter. And I declared that the dead who had already died are happier than the living who are still alive. But better than both is he who has not yet been, who has not seen the evil that is under the sun." You know, it's, I mean, he's saying that death is actually a blessing, a gift, because of all the no meaning. That's why I said life is meaningless. And but he says even better are those that haven't even been born, because they haven't seen all of the depression. And you know, Solomon looked at, like I said, there, he looked at pleasure, he looked at all kinds of things, you know. And in chapter 5, he actually says, you know, what about money? Now, isn't money really the thing? And in verse 10 of chapter 5, he says, "Whoever loves money never has money enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with his income. This too is meaningless." So is it, You know, we often say when we see people that have made it, or we say, gee, he did well for himself, you know. And what are we referring to often? We say, oh, gee, at school he was actually quite a nerd, you know. And now look at him. He's, you know, he's got a good job and he's driving this big car and he got a big house. Oh, he did well for himself, you know. But Solomon says that's all meaningless. You know, if we look a little bit at, I thought about the issue of rich and poor, and thought, I'm sure that there are many poor people that will say, you know, if I only had a little bit more money, I think, you know, it will go much better with me. So, is it about rich and poor? You know, the Lord says, it's more difficult for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. So is it better to be poor? While a poor man will say, if I only had a bit more riches, it would go better with me. And then I thought, it's not about, you know, rich and poor. It's about righteousness and unrighteousness. You know, and because you can be rich or poor and be righteous. You can be rich or poor and be unrighteous. And it's about righteousness. That is what it is about. And, you know, because whether you are rich or poor, you will sleep well, you have a clear conscience, because no money can buy that if you are righteous. You know, and so, what is it then? What is the meaning of it all, Solomon is saying. And if I read Ecclesiastes, and I have not read it, I have to honestly say to you, I've never read it from cover to cover before I started a little while ago. I find in it, it says, if we are searching for meaning in this life, in all the activities that we do, in the possessions that we have, in our wisdom, in our knowledge that we gain, if we try and kind of work it through, we will not understand it. We will not understand all the things that are happening on this planet. We will not understand the universe. We don't know where does it start, where does it end, you know, something, you know. And so it's, that is, and I think Solomon was just so engrossed in his own wisdom that he thought he can work it out. But every time he came to this point, he said, but this is meaningless, you know. And I just want to digress a little bit to always one of my favorite topics, and that's creation, because I'm just always blown away by, you know, by the things of creation. You know, if there are people in here this morning that believe that this universe, this earth, was formed by some form of explosion that just happened somewhere by chance, and somehow, you know, it suddenly, there's life started and the little worms and people started walking on this planet, and just giving enough time, billions of years, then it can all happen. Then I think everything is meaningless, because I always, you know, have this picture here. If you can just go to the next slide there. Okay, it's a bit small there at the top, but if you look at the world, you know, the Earth, you know, look at how much it weighs. You know, I don't know what that number is, but it's 5,972.18 zeros. Tons, not kilogram, tons, you know. And it actually moves at 108,000 kilometers an hour, okay, on this path around the sun. 108,000 kilometers an hour. Just imagine the momentum. I mean, who can stop it, you know? But it actually goes and does a circle, and then it comes back and goes and comes back again, you know, and if you stand on the equator, it doesn't only go around like that, it actually also goes around like this. spins at 1,670 kilometers an hour. So if you stand, it takes 24 hours to go around the world. You're back to where you came from. You have to travel at 1,670 kilometers an hour. Now, that is just mind-boggling, you know, and this is just this planet here, you know, that and where we are on, and everything is, the angle is like this, and, you know, it mustn't, the angle mustn't go like this because then it doesn't work anymore, you know. And this is, you know, if we think this is all by chance, then indeed everything is meaningless, you know, because the next minute, the next second, the next hour, some other explosion could happen, and we're all gone, or implosion, or whatever. You know, so life is indeed meaningless if we look at it like this. So let's look at some, you know, every now and again, at the end of chapter 5, for instance, I will then jump to chapter 11, but at the end of chapter 5 on verse 18, Solomon kind of comes to a intermediate little bit of an answer, and he says, you know, then I realized that it is good and proper for a man to eat and drink and to find satisfaction in his toilsome labor under the sun during the few days of life God has given him, for this is his lot. Moreover, when God gives any man wealth and possessions and enables him to enjoy them, to accept his lot and be happy in his work, this is a gift of God. He seldom reflects on the days of his life because God keeps him occupied with gladness of heart. And every now and again, Solomon, after the depressing things he says, you know, it is probably better to, you know, is it not that I must just enjoy my life here? And enjoy what God has given me. And is that my lot? And you know, I was thinking about this enjoyment and this excitement. And you know, we sometimes Christians seem to walk around with long faces. You know, we've got a lot of Christians. We have to be serious. We can't laugh. You know, if we joke too much, then, you know, we're sinning, or we have to repent or something, you know. So, but that's wrong. We can get excited, you know. We can, and I think we just, actually, I can't remember now the line what we're saying, but it's only through him that we can live. You know, we as Christians should be more than excited. I've got a picture here of, you know, you look at soccer guys, you know, and we all say, ah, that's great fun, you know, when we see these people in the stands. Just imagine we all walked in here this morning and with crosses on our heads and shouting and hats on, and, you know, people will say, oh, look at that sect. Gee, they are sinning, and they are, you know. But we can, and I thought, you know, this is actually, what Solomon is saying there is actually something that we can, that's not his final conclusion, but it's something that we can take to heart, you know. We can eat, we can laugh, we can have a drink, you know, we can play with our children, we can work hard, we can sleep well, we can trust God. You know, somebody said, I heard saying, he said, you know, no, I only drink wine because I only do what Jesus did, you know. Do we have, when we drink a glass of wine, do we have to get drunk? When we joke, do we have to tell coarse jokes? No. If we eat, do we have to be gluttons? No, I think, you know, the Creator wants us to enjoy creation. The Creator wants us to enjoy life. I think Mark last week said, live, because abundant life, that abundant life, apart from the Creator, of course, you know, creation is worthless and life is meaningless. But, you know, we as Christians, you know, and I'm just saying Christians should really enjoy life with an exclamation mark. And we should have fun, you know, because the Lord wants us. Should we live for pleasure? I say, yes, The Lord wants us to enjoy it, you know. He wants us to have a good time. So there are sometimes too many rules. We say, don't do this, and don't do that, and don't do this. And I think sometimes the people outside the church must be thinking, gee, that's boring, you know. But we can enjoy life, you know. We only have this short period on this earth. So live. You know, so, talking about jokes, it doesn't fit in here now, but I want to tell you a joke, okay? I heard this the other day. There was this little pet shop there in the Cape, and the owner always put this parrot on the pavement, you know, and on a little Stange, a rod kind of, you know, where it sits on with a chain. And there was this lady that walked past there, and you know, the owner was a Cape Coloured, you know, so the parrot was speaking a bit like, you know, like that as well. So this lady walked past there, and the parrot said, "Hey." And the lady looked around and said, "There's an Afrikaans say, Jeez, look, you know, you're ugly, you know." And "Oh, big fun, you know, oh, that's funny, you know." And so she walked out there every morning, and this parrot every time said, "Hey, he's Lilac." But it wasn't that funny when somebody else was walking the other way and this person laughed, you know. And so the lady said, "No, this is getting a bit far now." And she went in, said to the owner, "You know, if I walk past here again, this parrot does it again, I'll just do this, you know. I'll just wring his neck." And then, "Oh, sorry," he apologized, and he said, "No, I'll do something about it." And the next morning she walked and said, "Oh, parrot's sitting there again, you know." And she thought, "I wonder what's going to happen now." And walked past, and the parrot says, "Hey." And she turns around and looks at him, "J. Vietmos." So, you know, we can enjoy life, okay? Because, you know, satisfied people don't need to sin. We can be satisfied. And I know that I actually, as I went through this book here, I know there's something more there, and I just don't have it yet. Honestly, I come to the end, I'm saying, there's something here that I haven't yet grasped, you know. But we'll get there. Someday I will grasp it. Even for young people, I thought I just want to read this quickly before I come to the end of the chapter there. He said, "Be happy, young man, while you are young." That is now in chapter 11, verse 9. "And let your heart give you joy in the days of your youth. Follow the ways of your heart. And whatever your eyes see. But know that for all these things God will bring you to judgment. So then banish anxiety from your heart and cast off troubles of your body, for youth and vigor are meaningless." It's actually saying to young people, enjoy while you're young. But know this, that there is judgment. So let me go to the end. And these are the chapter is called the conclusion of the matter. And it's the last two verses of Ecclesiastes, and it says, "Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil." This is Solomon's conclusion. He says, fear God. It's basically three things there. He says, fear God, keep his commandments, because there will, you know, there will be judgment of all the deeds, that whether good or evil. So I just wanted to quickly look at those three things. Fear. Again, I want to be a little bit, in your face and say, fear, what fear? Is it like, what fear is it? Must I be afraid of him? I want to say yes. Okay. I'm saying it because, I looked and I thought, even the Lord says to us, I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that can do no more, but I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who after the killing of the body has the power to throw into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. We need to understand who God is. We need to really know who are we dealing with. Who is God? How awesome is he? Angels actually cover their face because they can't look at his holiness. So God is awesome. If we just think of some instances like Ananias and Sapphira, they were lying and they died. Look at the people in Noah's time. They all drowned. Sodom and Gomorrah, Egypt, the firstborns of the Egyptians all killed. We sometimes fear our boss or spider or boyfriend or whatever it is. We need to fear God. And I thought of saying, is this a holy fear? No, this is fear. This is an awesome God. And because you have to fear him. If you don't, and if you haven't been washed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is awesome. It is if the Lord actually killed his own son, then surely he will deal with you. Do we have to fear him? Yes, we have to fear him. It says keep his commandments. It's not suggestions. It says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. So this conclusion that Solomon makes, fear God, keep his commandments. And it's really, I know who God is. What does he say? Just do it. Even simpler, fear God and do what he says. One can almost summarize it like that. We don't need to pray about these things first. There are a lot of things that he just says, do and we can do. So the Lord has prepared a lot of good works for us, so let's do them. And then it says judgment. And I think this is where I just want to close off, is this last verse in this book says that, let's read it again, it says, for God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. Now, is that only for the non-Christians, or is it for the Christians as well? Every deed. Okay. And that is what every deed will be judged, whether good or evil, whether done in hiding or in the open. And that's what I just said just now. If God had to die himself to actually take the deeds of those that are gonna, those that have put their trust in him, in the Lord Jesus Christ, if he has to actually die, then clearly judgment is for everyone. And so if we are on this earth, I can just see, and it's unfortunately Solomon didn't see it, didn't know it. He comes to these conclusions. But, without Christ, without the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, life is meaningless. It is, I just have to come to the conclusion of Solomon that it is all meaningless. And, that is why, even in the songs that we're saying, I just kind of see, you know, as you prepare for something, you see this, you say, yeah, that is what I want to say, and then you forget about it, you know. But it's just, it is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that can give us meaning. There's nothing else, you know. And it's, and if you have not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can follow Solomon's example and get more knowledge, get more, study harder, get another degree. And I heard somebody saying, this guy's got as many, he's got so many degrees as Fahrenheit or something like that. But, you know, you can study, you can say, okay, now I'm going to work through this, and you can try and work through this book and say, okay, what, without the Lord Jesus Christ, it does not, there is no meaning to life. And it's in just an incredible lesson, I think, and that's why I just feel there is just something more almost that one can, ausbreiten, make bigger and breite, expand on, you know. And I just thought I'd just list three things that I came, you know, Solomon had three things as well, so I thought, okay, I'll put three things up here, which without God's intervention through the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you know, we are utterly lost and our life is meaningless. There's actually no hope. You know, it is through Christ that there's hope and life gets a meaning. There is nothing else. I'm sorry, I can't help you with anything else. I'm not sorry. But then I think something that we as Christians should also embrace is we can enjoy life. Enjoy your life. And I'm talking to myself. Okay. By the grace given to us through the death and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, we can actually enjoy it. We can laugh. We can have a lot of fun. Don't just sit in front of your TV and watch TV, you know, or like go into a coffee shop and sit with your iPad or iPhone or something, you know. Go and talk to people, have fun. And we as Christians should have absolutely the more fun, have an abundant life. And I have to put that in there. Fear God and do what He says. No, it's He's an awesome God, but you know, through the Lord Jesus Christ, our sins that, and this is still true, you know, every deed will be judged, but ours will be judged and have been placed. You know, say ours. I don't know you all. I don't know where you stand. You know, so I just want to encourage you to, you know, to read this book and just think about it and just then reflect and say, that is why I need Christ, because it just does not make sense. Otherwise, it does not make sense. So I want to, you know, if there's anybody in here that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to ask you to come after, you know, I will end the service. I want to, you know, ask you to come and we can pray. And it is really, and if there's somebody that says, look, I'm not enjoying myself, you know, come and we can pray for that. That this, it is also almost like a burden that needs to be lifted off and say, let me just realize who I am in Christ. Let me just realize that I'm on this planet that is hurtling at 108,000 kilometers an hour, spinning at 1,670 kilometers an hour. And the Lord gives me the grace to live here and enjoy it. You know? So let me pray. Father, I want to just thank you that we can just reflect every now and again, Lord, we reflect on just the awesomeness of this awesome thing, Lord, that Lord Jesus, that you did to die on a cross for us so that we can have life and have it abundantly. We can actually come and honestly come before you and we can say we don't understand what's going on. We can't really deal with these things in our life. We don't know how to enjoy our life. We can bring these things before you and know that we can have life because you want us to enjoy your creation. You want us to have life. You say we should have life and have it to the full, abundantly. We just want to thank you for that. Lord, I pray that we can really enjoy the grace that you have given us. We can really enjoy our families. We can enjoy the things that we do, the things that you have blessed us with, Lord. I just pray that we can fear you and do what you say, Lord. We just want to pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.